Was it easy for you to get a job once you came back?
Yes. My plans were to stay in Tennessee and work. I went to work for Alta Mill Corporation when I came back, and I was working on the spars for the wings of Phantom jets. I worked there for a while, and I didn't like the night shift, so I went to work for my brother with Vulcan Materials Company, and I worked for them for about a year and a half. At this time, I put my application in with Lockheed Aircraft in Marietta, and I got a notice one day that they wanted to come to work, and I called them, and they offered me about 2.5 hours to come to work at that time for Lockheed, and I told them I couldn't come for that. They called me back about 3 days later, and they told me that they would give me $331 if I'd come to work for them. So Johnny and I, we got all of our stuff together, and in 68, we moved our stuff down to Marietta, Georgia, or Smyrna, Georgia, in a dump truck. A friend of mine had a dump truck. We moved down and we got a little old duplex over in Smyrna, Georgia. And then later on, we bought us a house in Smyrna, Georgia. And I worked for Lockheed on 19 September 71. And they laid me off. And I came to work for Atlanta Gas Life, and I've been with them ever since.
Was $330 a pretty good wage?
$331 was a good wage at that time, and when I got laid off, I was making $531 3 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to work for the gas company for
$2.37. That's all.
Well, at that time, you know, that was a bad time, kind of a recession, and it was hard to find a job. Lockheed had 35,000 employees, and they started laying off, and when I left over there, it was down to about 20,000 employees. And I didn't have that much seniority, so they let me go. They called me back later and wanted me to go out to California and work for them on the L-1011, but I decided I'd stay with the gas company. I wasn't making that much, but I was working overtime to make up for it.
Mm-hmm. How did Johnny do being away from him for a year without seeing him just so soon after you left?
Well, Johnny was... like I say, I was on a cruise for 3 months for the time I was in the Marine Corps. She did fine. She came home, went back to her mama for a little while, but Johnny worked at a drugstore at that time when I was on the cruise. And then when I went to Watertown, New York, Johnny was pregnant. And I came back, she was having a lot of problems. And I came back from Watertown, and she had a miscarriage right after I got back. And while I was in Vietnam, she went back up to Tennessee to live, and she worked in the Emerald Hodgson Hospital up there as a receptionist.
Mm-hmm.
And she also helped her mom and daddy on the farm, on the truck farm. And it was hard for her. She done real well. She did not smoke before I went to Vietnam, but when I came back, she was smoking, and she smoked ever since.
Mm-hmm. Y'all communicated through letters?
Right. I try to write a letter from Vietnam at least twice a week if I could.
How long did it take to get the letter?
The letters, you never knew. Sometimes you could write a letter, it would be 3 to 4 weeks before she would get that letter. Then sometimes you could write a letter and it would get there before the other letter would go.
So you could have been hurt or killed and she wouldn't know about
right.
it?
Right. Your mail was censored. They in pictures, if you sent any pictures, any gruesome pictures of bodies that were mutilated or whatever, they were taken out of the mail.
The United States didn't want the citizens to know about how bad it was.
Right. But most of the letters I knew not to write, you know, I just write a normal thing, you know. You could tell her if we were attacked or we were mortared or whatever.
Oh,
you
really?
Could, you
so
could
she
put
didn't
it in
know
there.
If you'd been in danger?
She never forgets it, you know. In fact, if you could tell her, you didn't want to go tell her your best buddy was killed because that would upset her, so you tried to just write wrong. They would send packages. My mama would send packages. She would send packages. It would come maybe. I got a cake one time. It had been crushed. It was just in crumbs, but we broke it out, and all the men in there in the metal shop and on the flight line, we ate the cake. It tasted real good, even though it was crushed. Because the temperatures over there had run anywhere. During the summertime, it'd get hot as 135 degrees. Mm-hmm. And I've seen the asphalt, if you would melt.
That's not the heat index, that's the actual degree temperature.
That's the actual degree temperature.
And no shade at all?
No shade, there was hardly any shade at all unless you got into a tent, in the old tent, the old canvas tent. It didn't help too much. We did have some fans that we put into the tents where you could sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we didn't sleep a whole lot. Some weeks we worked day and night. We didn't sleep at all.
You said your brother was in the military too?
My brother was in the Marine Corps. He was in during the Cuban crisis.
Uh-huh.
He was aboard the USS Forrestal during the Cuban crisis.
Uh-huh. And he was older?
He's 4 years older now. Mm-hmm. He was in the Marine Corps.
Did he go to Vietnam?
He did not go to Vietnam. The only action he seen was at during the Cuban crisis.
Mm-hmm. About your mom and dad, were they both alive when you were over there?
Mom and dad was both alive when I was in Vietnam. They worked at a little farm in Tennessee, and daddy was working at the university. My mom never did work a public job.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of a big job just to take care of the house and the farm. And
yes. Mm-hmm.
They had to raise the crops.
And they had, at that time, they had two milk cows, and daddy had three or four calves. He would sell them, or he would butcher them for meat.
Mm-hmm.
We did not have a bathroom in the house right after I went in the military. They put a bathroom in the house. We had a little outdoor toilet that we used.
Did they write to you?
Yes, mom would write, mm-hmm. and my sister-in-law would write. And my brother, he didn't write too much.
Yeah. Were they proud of you? They had like your picture on the TV,
Yes, I still have one of the pictures that mom had when I was in the military.
Were any of your friends taken prisoner?
We did not have any of my friends that were taken prisoner. I did not really know anybody at all by name that was taken prisoner. I knew at the time that if you got shot down and you wasn't picked up within several hours, that the Vietnamese would, they would pick pilots up, and they were prisoners of war. That was another job of our squadron. If a pilot got shot down in either North Vietnam or South Vietnam, if we was available, we would go in and pick the pilots up so they would not get taken prisoners. I did not actually know any prisoners of war.
Was there torture?
There was torture. There was torture on both sides. We picked up some dead people that were tortured. Their ears were cut off, which the Vietnamese liked to torture people, because we would pick up prisoners, and we would have the South Vietnamese with us, and they would take the prisoners up into the helicopters, and they would try to get them to talk, and they would cut off their ears, and if they didn't talk, they would just shove them out of the helicopters. And so if the South Vietnamese did it to them, they would do, in return, they would torture the prisoners too.
Mm-hmm. You said before that you thought it was a political war. When did you begin to realize that while you were there, once you got back home?
Well, you realize it more over there because you listen to the news over there, and if you get false news, they would say that maybe 3,000 North Vietnamese were killed, and they would say that no Americans were killed. And we knew better because we'd seen them killed, and we had friends, and we'd seen friends get killed, And we know it was a lot of propaganda in it, and we know it was a lot of politics in it. And then you could hear North Vietnamese, there was a lady at that time, she was named Hanoi Hannah. You could pick up their news broadcast, and they would say that 3,000 Americans were killed and no North Vietnamese were killed.
Mm-hmm.
Weren't
some of those people like that prosecuted for
telling
the
truth? You realized, I guess, more when you got back home that it was a political war, when you got to watching television, and you got to realize how much some of these politicians were into it with the gun people and all kind of weapons people and all that, they were getting rich off of this war. And it wasn't only just with guns, it was with all supplies and everything. I went by Da Nang several times, and you would see just mountains of cold drinks piled up just going to waste. And they wouldn't transport them out into the fields or take them out into the fields to the troops. Mm-hmm. We had to buy the Cokes. The Cokes would cost us more than beer or anything.
Mm-hmm. And then that, you saw that waste.
And I said, that's a waste. Somebody's making money. You knew it was political, you know. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous.
And before you said that once they fired on you, you couldn't really retaliate.
Right. You had to, if you went out and you was in an operation, you had to be shot at, actually shot at or receive fire before you could shoot back. You know, if they shoot at you, if there was a big group of North Vietnamese or company Vietnamese started shooting at you, they could several people get killed before you could really shoot back. And it's Lieutenant Kelly, you know, that killed the kids. They say killed the kids and all that. If you went into a operation in the jungle and everybody was shooting and there was kids in the way, it was unfortunate that the kids and women would get killed. Mm-hmm. But some of the kids as young as 8, 9 years old would kill you too, because I went out in the field and the kids would try to grab the hand grenades off your belt and everything. They would, we'd take a doctor out on patrol and we'd go down to help the villages. And the little kids would run up to you and try to grab your hand grenades off. So, you know, I can't say if I ever killed any kids or anybody in our squad didn't kill kids, but if you're shooting out of a helicopter and you go into an operation, into the jungles, you don't know who you're going to really, you know. All you know that you've got word that that any American troops is not around, and you start shooting when you go in. If you get shot at, and you know you don't know what's going on. It's much noise. The 24 helicopters going in, or maybe more than 24, and you just start shooting.
The North Vietnamese, they didn't care to have their children in the line of fire.
Oh no, the North Vietnamese, they didn't. You know, and they would get the kids would get drugged up, and the North Vietnamese get drugged up, and they would. When they would attack, they would be drugged up, and you could just shoot and shoot and shoot, and they would done be dead, but they keep on walking.
Yeah. What do you mean by drugged up? What kind of
drugs? Well, they was cocaine and a lot of different kind of drugs in Vietnam at that time.
Were there Americans that did that to survive?
Yes. It wasn't at that in 66, 67 when I was over there. You really didn't notice it in the around the air wing part of it, or you didn't notice as much as you did out in the troops, the grunts or the infantry. But they did, you know, they did smoke a lot of pot and everything over there. And I didn't really come in contact with a whole lot of hard drugs, but they was there.
They got them there. They didn't, no way to bring them with them.
They got them there. You couldn't bring them with you. They was there.
Why do you think so many people are reluctant to talk about it?
Well, there's a lot of them that was out in the jungles that are reluctant to talk about it. That seen their best buddies get blown away, and it worked on the mind, you know, real bad. And it did work on mine. When I came back, it was hard on me. For a while that I really, really had a bad time with it.
You had nightmares?
You'd have nightmares and dream about it.
Dream you hear the mortar coming or something?
Right, and a lot of the guys that got wounded, you know, they still reliving it. Mm-hmm. Some of them in Hawaii and everywhere, they're still fighting the war. In their minds, they're still fighting the Vietnam War.
Did the government offer you any assistance as far as...
The government did not offer...
Psychological counseling?
Psychological counseling. You could have went to the VA hospital and got it. I didn't really ever have to use it, which I'm proud to say. And, of course, they offered you some benefits on education, and I did take advantage of it. I went to Cobb Vocational Technical School for 4 years, and I drawed a little money off of that, which wasn't much, $100-something dollars a month.
Mm-hmm.
I could have went to college off the GI Bill, too.
Mm-hmm. After you got back?
After I got back, right.
Is that like fully funded education?
That did not fully fund your education. It helped you with your education, but it didn't fully fund.
if you were younger, would you be eager to go back to war?
I wouldn't be eager to go to war, but if I were younger, I would probably go into the military and make the military career, because it is a good career.